You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting, in the second week of November 2025. The Religious Liberty Report on the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. The church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. This report is hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you on the issues of our day, approaching these issues from a biblical worldview. This radio broadcast is intended to help equip churches and believers on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture too often disagreeing with our message. We work to exhibit grace. We know that faith, religion, are often a source of controversy and that debates can be fierce. As we address the many issues of our time, we do so hoping to not sacrifice grace and compassion for the world, for the lost. We can, brothers and sisters, discuss the issues without sacrificing love, guarding against becoming combative in our defense of the faith. Because the faith requires, God's word tells us, to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have within you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Are you prepared to give that answer? Do you feel confident sharing your faith? Scripture exhorts us to contend for the faith. Yet many Christians avoid sharing their faith and because they're afraid they can't answer the tough questions. Our hope is here on the report to help equip you to understand and articulate your perspective, your Christian worldview, when faced with a wide range of tough questions. Tough questions on topics including race, sex, heaven, hell, and more. Our plan, our tactic is to have a plan for discussing our Christian convictions. Thank you for tuning in. Turning to page one of the report. Catholic bishops rebuke the U.S. and its mass deportation of immigrants. In a rare statement, the bishops of the Catholic Church framed the immigration crisis in the United States in starkly moral terms, saying, quote, "We feel compelled now in this environment to raise our voices in defense of God-given human dignity." Catholic bishops rebuking the U.S. and its, quote, "mass deportation of immigrants." America's Roman Catholic bishops on Wednesday of last week rebuked the Trump administration's aggressive deportation campaign in a near unanimous statement that framed the immigration crisis in moral terms. The statement, passed at the bishops' annual conference in Baltimore, did not call out President Trump by name, but the bishops said that they oppose the indiscriminate mass deportation of people and pray for an end to dehumanizing rhetoric and violence, whether directed at immigrants or at law enforcement. Turning to page two of the report. Mary, the Virgin Mary, was not co-redeemer, the Vatican declares amid a spread of cult of the Madonna. Pope Leo approving a decree saying that co-redeemer title for Mary risks eclipsing the exclusive role of Jesus in saving humanity. Pope Leo has instructed Catholics not to refer to Mary as having helped her son Jesus save the world from damnation. amid the spread of an exaggerated worship of the Madonna on social media, oftentimes, that has emboldened claims of apparitions, weeping statues, and self-styled prophets. A decree from the Vatican's doctrinal office, approved by the pontiff, says Jesus alone saved humanity from hellfire, and therefore Catholics must not call Mary co-redeemer or co-redemptrix. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, this second week of November 2025. Turning to page 3. Can conversion therapy be banned? Colorado faces speech test at the Supreme Court. Colorado and more than 20 other U.S. states restrict therapists, counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists from trying to change the gender identity or sexual orientation of clients under the age of 18, commonly referred to as conversion therapy. This recent case pits the state of Colorado against an evangelical Christian, Miss Childs, a clinical mental health counselor, graduated from Denver Seminary. She's arguing before the High Court that the Colorado law violates her First Amendment rights, preventing her from counseling, from saying things in therapy sessions with youngsters who are seeking her care. Miss Childs, in an interview, said that it seems like an invasion from the state. An invasion for the state to be peering into private counseling sessions. Miss Childs, the evangelical Christian mental health counselor, has said that her speech is being censored because her clients aren't able to see her and make statements or seek certain goals in their therapy and their treatment. The Supreme Court last Tuesday heard Ms. Childs' challenge to the Colorado law. And this case can affect more than 20 similar laws in 20 other states. It will now be up to the justices on the Supreme Court to decide whether Colorado's law, as it applies to talk therapy, can be regulated by the state, or whether it amounts to impermissible censoring of speech. We'll keep an eye on the case of Miss Childs and the state of Colorado at the Supreme Court. A decision is expected by the end of the Supreme Court term in June of 2026. In June of last year, the court was divided 6-3 along ideological lines when it upheld a Tennessee law banning certain medical treatments for transgender teens and allowed religious parents to withdraw their children from story time with LGBTQ-themed books. The justices on the Supreme Court will also turn their attention in this term to a pair of state laws barring transgender athletes from participating on girls' and women's sports teams. Generally speaking, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution prevents the government from restricting speech based on content or messaging. It's called content-based restrictions. Generally, not permitted under the U.S. Constitution. But federal courts have, in certain cases, allowed certain restrictions if they incidentally burden speech. For example, in 2018, the Supreme Court ruled that California, the state of California, could not require religiously oriented crisis pregnancy centers to supply women with information about how to end their pregnancies. In that decision, the Supreme Court cautioned against giving professional speech less constitutional protection to suppress unpopular ideas. The First Amendment does not allow the government to shut down one side of the discussion. Turning the page on the Religious Liberty Report, the second week of November 2025, I think it's page 4, Florida. Florida court rejects free speech argument in book removal case. A Florida court backs a ban on certain books. A Florida school district is free to ban a children's book about two male penguins who adopt a chick. A federal judge has ruled, saying that the decision does not implicate the First Amendment or the rights of authors or elementary school teachers. A Florida court getting it right, rejecting a frivolous, baseless free speech argument seeking to expose minors in the state of Florida to sexually explicit materials in elementary school curricula. Turning to page 5 of the report, the second week of November 2025, Florida High School ceases witchcraft presentations. As a result of Liberty Council's demand letter, Orange County Public Schools has directed West Orange High School to cease its weekly Witchy Wednesday video series, which aired school-wide. The series, which aired during midweek morning announcements, was produced by students providing religious instruction on spells, magic, moon worship, and other witchcraft rituals. Turning the page on the Religious Liberty Report, Supreme Court denying the request to revisit same-sex marriage decision of 2015. The Supreme Court last week turned down a request that it consider overturning its landmark decision to legalize same-sex marriage in 2015. Without comment, the court declined the petition filed by Kim Davis, a former Kentucky County clerk who had gained national attention in 2015 when she refused to issue same-sex marriage licenses because of her sincerely held religious beliefs. At least 4 of the 9 justices would have needed to vote to hear Ms. Davis's case and revisit the 2015 decision that legalized same-sex marriage in the United States. Persecution of the faithful in Nigeria. President Trump has been targeting the government of Nigeria for its willingness to tolerate Islamist terrorist group attacks on Christians, murdering Christians by the thousands in Nigeria. There's been an ongoing actual human rights crisis targeting Christians in Nigeria. President Trump put out a statement saying that if the Nigerian government continues to look the other way as Christians are slaughtered, then the United States might have to intervene to do something about it. Now, it's likely that President Trump is not, in fact, seeking intervention, radical intervention, by putting hundreds of thousands of American troops on the ground in Nigeria. But if a pressure campaign can be put to bear on the Nigerian government, or a minimum of necessary force is used in Nigeria in order to protect the Christians there, then President Trump is signaling he's willing to do so. President Donald Trump last week doubling down on his allegations that the Nigerian government is failing to rein in the persecution of Christians. On Truth Social, he put a statement, "If the Nigerian government continues to allow the killing of Christians, the USA will immediately stop all aid and assistance to Nigeria and may well go into that now disgraced country. Guns are blazing to completely wipe out the Islamic terrorists who are committing these horrible atrocities." President Donald Trump on Truth Social commenting on the persecution of Christians in the country of Nigeria, which has now been designated a country of particular concern. Nigeria continues to deny that Christians are being persecuted. With that said, the government is certainly not doing enough to protect Christians in the northern parts of Nigeria. This is certain. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Second week of November 2025. Will artificial intelligence disrupt entire nations, societies, economies? Some argue that we're just in an adjustment period. Eventually, we'll all figure out this AI thing and we'll let its magic enter our lives and we'll adapt to this new reality. We'll find new opportunities to grow with artificial intelligence. A common argument in favor of artificial intelligence, and yes, acknowledging that it is disrupting many industries, is the tractor, and how in the 19th and 20th centuries, tractors displaced farmers. What the work once done by farmers was now done by tractors, the industrial age, the industrial revolution. But it turned out that it worked out, supposedly worked out just fine, because those farmers went to work in factories and other jobs that were created. It was just a shift, a social, economic shift, a technological shift, the tractor. But when tractors revolutionized farming, it wasn't a smooth transition. The farm work that previously required dozens of men suddenly just required two. Farm workers had to find new lines of work. If they were lucky, they got a job at a factory. So, while from our modern view, the transition from manual farm labor to automated seems simple, in reality, it was a long, difficult transformation of the world's workforce. Comparing this to AI, artificial intelligence, and the AI disruption. I mean, think about it. We're only really 3 years into this AI disruption. And compared to previous technological breakthroughs like the tractor, this one's happening much quicker, much faster. Make no mistake, widespread disruption is coming. We may not be quite at the stage where robots will replace humans, but we're getting close. Eventually, many say, the economy will adjust to this new reality, find productive new ways for us all to participate, to contribute. But we really don't know how long that's going to take. Every great technological leap begins with a breakthrough, whether it was the loom, the steam engine, the tractor, the computer, the internet, the smartphone. AI. But with each improvement, the world received from these technologies came a difficult adjustment period. AI could end up being the most disruptive of all, unprecedented, a reallocation of the world's workforce, compressed not into centuries, but into decades, maybe a single decade, 10 years. Some are saying the white-collar world is going to see serious disruption. Many young people are saying maybe blue-collar jobs are the better choice. Others are saying the era of everyone should go to college, get a job through college, university, this era may be ending. Well, in the long run, this technological, social, economic labor force shift will probably, hopefully, be a good thing for the world. Yes, it's going to be painful, but eventually, hopefully, we'll be in a place where algorithms will handle the bulk of busy work and humans will focus on doing creative, productive, real-world tasks. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting. The argument is really simple. Technology is not neutral. It's been said that whoever captures, commands technology and its structure will capture society. Artificial intelligence quickly flipping the narrative. Are robots coming for our jobs? Are they coming for our elections? Are robots coming for our kids? Well, the impulsive response may be to panic, to fear, even to legislate or regulate. I mean, to sum it all up, we should probably be encouraged by the promise of technological advancement. We can advance in productivity, discovery. We can flourish individually, as communities, as institutions, as nations. But fear lingers over the entire narrative. There seems to be always a new monster just around the corner. And many are saying, trust us. Let the professionals decide. The threat is not artificial intelligence. The threat seems to be the danger of those who want to own it and control it. And following AI disruption, let's cover intergalactic disruption. The Age of Disclosure, a documentary to be released in late November, will reveal government cover-ups of non-human intelligence. This documentary will be now released in theaters and on Amazon. As per the trailer, The Age of Disclosure will document an 80-year global cover-up of non-human intelligent life, a secret war among major nations to reverse engineer advanced technology of non-human origin. Featuring testimony from 34 members of the U.S. government, military, and intelligence communities. The film supposedly exposes the profound stakes for the future of humanity. The Age of Disclosure, a documentary airing on Amazon and in theaters around the nation, starting November 21st. So, it seems we missed it, the soft launch of catastrophic disclosure. An article by Adrian Adams, October 11, 2025. We're not waiting for contact, we're adjusting to it. If you expected disclosure to arrive like fireworks, you're watching the wrong show. Everyone expecting government officials at podiums, fleets of UFOs flying over the White House lawn, crowds chanting, "We told you so." Well, the real disclosure, the one actually unfolding, feels more like a soft launch. The kind of rollout that happens when you're distracted, while you're looking the other way. Bits of footage leak, declassified reports slip through. A Pentagon official mentions non-human biologics. The UFO hearings, they weren't accidents, you know, the ones in Congress. They were A-B tests. Option A, panic. Option B, polite disbelief. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, talking about soft launches of catastrophic disclosure. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report this second week of November 2025, as we reviewed this week's Religious Liberty News. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on this Religious Liberty Report, for being an inspiration and honor to bring you this weekly briefing, reminding you that the church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. We cannot just sit on the sidelines and let the culture do its own thing. We are called to contend for the faith. Alex Alfano signing off for this week, reminding you that freedom of religion respects the image of God in man. Freedom of religion respects our right to make decisions regarding our future. And it respects and acknowledges that it is the Holy Spirit who changes hearts. Only Jesus saves. Until next time, God bless you. And God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.